Three guys in a bedroom talking about movies. What are they talking about? Probably, yeah. Triple dudes talking about movie tunes. Yeah.
Speaking of which, can we talk about, I would like to plug my hot sauce video, if that's all right with you guys.
Oh, yeah. Bob's starting to do reviews of various condiments on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. Bob's...
Bob, how do you find this video on YouTube?
So if you type in Taco Bell hot sauce review, you should probably find it. It's under Hot Rob's Hot Sauce Reviews, and you can find some hot sauce reviews that I did.
Are you exclusively doing hot sauces?
I'll probably expand to other condiments.
You do like Heinz versus Hunt's kind of thing?
Yeah, I would like to keep it as generic as possible, like condiments that everyone has already had before. Like a review of Heinz ketchup would be an example of one of the reviews that I would do.
And you're just taking like an eyedropper and putting it on your
tongue? No, you would use like French fries or whatever the most typical vehicle of that sauce is. And then you would do a very straight,
you gotta do like a blind study,
honest review.
Yeah, you should have done the blind.
Okay. I couldn't blind myself. I'm there by myself.
It's dependent on how good the French fries are.
You should have scrambled up the tacos.
You don't think I would know? I play three-card money with my own tacos, and I wouldn't know which one is which.
You play what with your own tacos?
Three-card money? It's like Find the Lady. It's that game in New York where you...
Find the Lady?
You guys don't know this game?
I understand. This is like on the Jumbotron, and you try to keep track of which hat has a ball underneath it.
Yeah, it's a game. It's called...
Find the Lady.
It's called Three-Card Monty, or Find the Lady.
Three-Card Monty, Find the Lady.
It's a game that they play like on the streets of New York. Do you have any news?
Dog story. I found, I was driving down busy intersection yesterday.
Oh, I saw this story on Facebook.
I found two dogs.
This is a terrible story.
It's horrible. They're weaving in and out of traffic. So my good deed for the night is I pick these dogs up.
Yeah.
And then I don't really know what to do with them because I can't bring them back to my apartment. So I take them to the Eagle Rock dog shelter. And I drop the dogs off. They put them in the cage.
What a good citizen.
And... Yeah. Then after this, I ask, so this is a no-kill shelter, right? And she says, no.
This is a definite kill shelter.
This is a kill shelter.
This is an extreme prejudice kill shelter.
These dogs have 4 minutes. you put them in a gas chamber.
They have...
thank you.
They hold them for 4 days.
Dog. Target practice.
4 days, and if they don't get picked up...
4 days? That's nothing.
Or wait, maybe it's 4 days, then they put them on adoption, up for adoption for a week, and then they kill them.
Oh, my God.
So basically,
I should have let these
dogs run around in the street.
They had a better chance running riot in traffic.
Yeah.
Let's talk about these movies, huh?
Okay. Yeah.
Prometheus.
Anyway, it's been a long layoff, so we're doing a double review, Moonrise Kingdom and Prometheus.
And we'll just do reverse alphabetical order. We'll start with Prometheus.
yeah, sure. I will say I was very excited to see both of these movies, and I only liked one of them.
Interesting.
I thought you really liked both of them.
Did you?
I remember you saying that Moonrise Kingdom
was cute. It was cute.
Yeah.
More I think about it, very disappointed.
Go on.
I just at this point.
Is it just because you have such high expectations?
It's just I want him to do more interesting subject matter.
He's kind of Wes Anderson-ing it.
This plot was so simple and so cute, and it was almost like I found myself kind of uncomfortable with the shots that were so Wes Anderson-y, like this, the like perfectly centered living room.
I never much cared for that.
Man, I'm so like over this. Like,
yes, I agree.
And so I felt like this should have been a little short film before his real movie.
Mm.
And I would have been fine with that. I would have been like, oh, it's cool, you got all these actors. But it was so self-aware. Like, he knows it's funny to have those lines said by kids. That's why we're watching it, you know? Like, he writes the kids like they're adults. And that's why that weird kid's funny and well tended bombs.
Not just adults, but also Wes Anderson adults.
Right. And that's why when all of them are kids and well tended bombs too, that's very funny.
Right.
Well, the thing is, I think he has... I think all of his movies are really self-aware. Because, like, it's so, like, meticulous. I think the problem people have is he... It feels like he's doing an impersonation of himself. But I think that's sort of... He just has such a specific style that it comes across that way.
It was... It just... I don't know. For some reason, everything felt a lot more flat than... I felt it was, like, what he wanted it to be. It was exactly that. But what a boring... It was just kind of boring. I was just like...
I'll tell you, I was sitting there the whole movie waiting for something to happen. You know what I mean? I felt like the whole movie, I was like, okay, what's going to happen?
I thought there was going to be a twist or something.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, do these movies really ever have twists?
No, but there's just something about... I think here's kind of... Like, in Royal Tenenbaums, having Alec Baldwin as a narrator...
West Night Shyamalan.
...is, like, awesome. It, like, it really...
Bob Babylon?
It's cool. In this one, it was, like, cute. It was like... Oh, it's cool that Bob Babylon is like...
No, I don't think so. I mean, I thought his...
Balaban.
I thought Russell his... I thought his narration was actually very ominous. I thought those kids were going to get killed or something.
It wasn't cute to me at all.
It was very, like, this shit's real.
Well, it was just like, he's talking right to the camera. I don't know, I just didn't...
Actually, that was one of my favorite parts about the movie, how he would walk up to the camera, he would turn on the light... He would talk about the weather and the time in 26 hours.
Yeah,
I thought that was cool. Really
I see
well
what
done.
You're saying. My favorite movies of his
Bob
are of Bob Balaban's.
Boiler Room.
A Mighty Wind.
No. Yeah, exactly.
Seinfeld episode.
See the head of NBC or something?
Yeah, he's Russell.
Dalrymple. Are Rushmore, Royal Tenenbaums, and my first
Carter.
One. The first one.
Bob
you don't like Love, Quattro?
I like Love, Quattro, but those are my three favorite. And I feel like those are the most grounded in reality. And I think that's what I like about it. I like it when he sort of balances the... like, this doesn't feel real in any way.
Oh,
it feels... It's like a cartoon almost.
Right.
Well, especially...
And I did really like it, I would say that. But
when that kid got struck by lightning.
Right.
I mean, that's such a bold move
and
to put a movie
like
in these times. It's like, what?
Bruce Willis is this, like, cop on this little island that, like, clearly would not even have a cop. Like, it's so weird.
No, I liked it. Again, Bruce Willis is one of my favorite characters.
No, I mean, I really liked it. I don't know. I felt like...
at least
I
just
it really made me
I
feel good.
A lot
I don't
more.
Know
it was... So it's good, but it's the same way I felt about, like, Burning After Reading, where I, like, go to see a Coen Brothers movie, and I was like, oh, okay, they did that well, but that was such, like, a boring, simple story. I don't understand why they even wanted to do that. I guess that's my biggest thing. It's like, this feels like it should have been a movie before... Royal Tenenbaums. Like, I wish it was more of a build, and then you see his, like, really cool stuff.
Were you attracted to that girl?
No, I wasn't.
How old is she?
She's like 13.
I'm looking at this girl.
Because I'm not either.
I'm looking at this girl in that scene where they're making out, and she's in her underwear, and I'm like, you shouldn't be feeling like this right now.
Yeah.
They made it, like, too sultry.
It was a little risky.
It was a little, it gave me tinglies in the jokes.
I didn't like the kid either.
Oh, I
that
liked him a lot.
Kind of a
he was real cute.
I agree with you. I didn't
care. He was kind of annoying. Ed Norton was my favorite part of his movie.
Right, yeah.
That was the Owen Wilson character, right?
Right.
If Owen Wilson had been this, he would have been Ed Norton.
And that was another weird thing, is it just felt like that was the only thing he, like, well, I gotta change something. Let's just switch out everyone that's in this thing.
What do you mean, just because he picked a new cast?
Yeah, it felt like that was like what he was experimenting with, was the new cast, but everything else was so fucking Wes Anderson. I mean,
yeah.
It's got to be exhausting, and a little bit boring. I don't know how he stayed into this project.
How absurd would it be, though, if he deviated significantly from
his aesthetic? I
don't
really want him to deviate from his aesthetic, but I want him to tell a more interesting story with his aesthetic. I want him to direct Prometheus.
But I think this was... Yeah, I agree. I want him to expand his horizons, too. But I feel like in the way this was... I think it was, like, the most, like, reduced down Wes Anderson. Like, I feel like this is what he's been wanting to say.
This
was,
exactly.
Like his most personal story or whatever.
This is fucking boring, man.
I wish it was a little funnier. Like, I feel like Owen Wilson and Noah Baumbach kind of, you know, those movies
right.
are a little... Just, like, more laugh-out-loud fun.
Right.
You like Noah Baumbach. I don't like him.
I like him a lot.
I thought the music was really good. I really enjoyed the...
I don't remember.
Well, that, I think it blended really well into the film. That's part of why I liked it.
But there was 30 moments, like, in Royal Tenenbaums when she gets off the bus, and you're just like, I will always remember this moment.
I don't know. I really enjoyed the scene where they were writing the letters back and forth. That was definitely a standout scene for me. It felt almost like a Wes Anderson version of Sandlot or something, with the other kids, the other scouts.
Right.
Ed Norton, I was really pleased with. I haven't seen Ed Norton really act in a while.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, he's doing kind of these cheesy action movies and stuff.
Yeah.
And this, he really, I think, displayed the...
He's going to be the bad guy in New Born. I'm excited.
I saw that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I told you guys about my idea to have Wes Anderson. The premise would be the...
So you are now pitching Wes Anderson a movie.
Yes.
Okay. So start off with Mr. Anderson.
It's just a cruise journey to the edge of the universe.
Oh, you told me about this, yeah.
Yeah.
I really like this idea.
He could do so much with that.
It's a captain's... It's a space captain. It's
right.
His last kind of flame.
It's like,
before he retires.
If you take...
Star Trek
Life
5.
Aquatic. If you take Life Aquatic and you remove the like, that they make their own show.
Right.
And it's just literally, like, in space.
Right. I actually...
That's
really,
what I
want to
see him do. Something more adventurous than a little kid meeting a little girl. I'm like, what?
Right.
I don't know.
Fair enough.
That's my thoughts.
Fine with that.
So wait, how do you guys rank this in the Wes Anderson movies?
Fourth. It's right around 3 or 4 or 4 or 5 for me. Yeah.
It's so low for me.
Well, if I saw this when I was 10 years old, it would have been my favorite movie of all time.
Interesting.
I would have loved
that's
it.
True.
That's
true.
Right.
Because it has a little bit of
it's
really fun.
Want to see Wes Anderson movies, do they? They want those explosions.
No, there's hipster high school kids that would love the shit out of this movie. They would like act like they're the cool kids.
I don't know what kids are up to these days.
I don't know either. I would love to go to high school for a week and just see
what's
kids
going on with
kids,
the cell phones.
Kids are up to. Oh, it's probably... Well, kids are probably sexting each other all over the place. We talked
about
imagine
that. How much sexting is
going on. So much. I mean, imagine how many 16-year-old breasts are residing on
in
iPhones
the,
right
in
now.
The, probably in the school bathroom. Go fucking go to the bathroom. Show me a picture of your tits.
Oh, definitely.
You know?
Definitely.
And then straight to Facebook.
Right.
Tagger.
Right. And then the guy's going to have a wank in the bathroom.
Have a wank.
I was watching Extras the other day.
Low load.
Low load. Having a wank.
It's technically child porn, right? You got child
porn
on your phone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
there was
definitely.
A case. There was a guy. I remember there was a sexting scandal where they were going to put the guy on the fucking child porn list because... He was 18. He was dating a junior. She was sexting him pictures of herself, and they were saying he had child porn. So
that is so wild. But I mean, technically, I guess that's exactly what it is.
It's pretty stupid, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we just escaped that. You know.
They should revise that law so there could be a gap. Like 18 and 17 doesn't make sense. It should be like 35. Like if you're 34 and you're fucking a 17,
well,
that
it should
can't
just
be
something about.
Well, it's the same thing with statutory rape. There's like an 18-month grace period. So if you're 18, you can have sex with a 17-year-old.
Oh, nice.
I didn't know that.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's nice. I like
that's good.
What about if you're 20-something? Let's say 20. Let's say 28. Well, let's say 27 turning 28.
Yeah.
You can't have sex with a 10-year-old.
Yeah,
11?
You can have sex with an 18-year-old.
Would you guys, right now, would you have sex with an 18-year-old? Considering you're single. Let's just... Since both of you guys are in relationships.
Let's
boring.
Say, do I know she's 18?
Yes, you know for sure she's 18.
I don't think I could do it.
What do you mean?
I think it would bother me.
That she's 18.
If she looked older and I didn't know she was 18, then sure.
Yeah, it all depends.
And then I find out after, I would probably be like, shit, dude, I didn't know she was 18.
I
but you know for sure
she's
18.
It would weird me out.
Why do you have a moral qualm about
that? It's not a moral qualm, it's just weird. Like a month ago, she
an
was a senior in high school. 18-year-old
would be so... What would you even talk about?
Oh, you talk about
it. You
don't
have to talk about anything.
You talk
yeah.
about Pokemon.
I would feel too dirty. It's too. It's like walking up to a bunch of fish in an aquarium and shooting them or something.
That is not what it's like. That is not at all what it's
yeah,
like.
It's,
surely you should understand that, right?
I know.
Working in an aquarium.
I know. What?
It's
that's
it,
what it's like to
of
you? Sleeping with an 18-year-old is shooting fish
instead
in an aquarium.
Instead of diving in the ocean and spearing some wild fish, you go to a pet store
unbelievable.
And just get a little net and just scoop up the little baby fish and then eat it.
And then fuck it.
So you don't want it. So this is your, just by the way, just so we're clear, your reasoning for not doing this is that it's not challenging enough. Just so we're clear.
According to that logic. It feels dirty.
It feels too easy for you.
No, well.
I mean, I challenge
you. It's not for me. It's like something about society. Like older guys and an 18-year-old, it just feels grimy.
But if you were 55 dating a 45-year-old, it's not a big deal.
Of course.
And if you're 55 dating a 20-year-old, whatever.
Sure.
18. So if you're 55 and she's 20, it's cool. What about 19?
Obviously, everyone frowns upon it, but if you're some rich old guy and you're dating a 20-year-old, good for you.
Yeah, but if she's 18,
how
she's
is that
a minute.
Better? How is that better than you having sex with an 18-year-old?
I think his point is there's the difference between a 21-year-old and a 30-year-old is...
9 years.
...is much less than an 18-year-old and a 20-year-old. You know what I mean? Those 2 years mean a lot.
Yeah,
I think it's just because those words teen are in there. Those words teen.
No, I think it's because like
those
a
words,
week ago
teen.
They were a senior in high school. I think.
Yeah, and it's just gross. All right,
Prometheus,
loved it. And
man, I had the exact same or the exact opposite.
Yeah,
I thought it was stupid as fuck. Man.
I came up with such high expectations.
Yeah, agreed, Ames.
And it really, there's a lot I enjoyed scenes, and I enjoyed a lot about it, but it completely.
The only thing I liked about it was Michael Fassbender.
He was amazing.
All
well, that's not true. I shouldn't say that.
All I wanted it to be was cool, and it was cool.
Yeah.
So I was happy.
But that's so.
You didn't.
That's
want it
so
to,
unfair
like,
of you.
But
Kevin.
I feel like. I've never seen Alien, but I hear it's
like
amazing.
Oh, I didn't expect it to be anything like Alien. I mean, even from the trailer, I saw the trailer and I was like, oh, this is not Alien or Aliens. I mean, this is going to be its own sci-fi action movie. And
yeah.
I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, I don't know.
But
the
they don't take
but
it
why,
anywhere.
But
I feel
understand.
Like Fassbender is like a top 15 most interesting sci-fi characters. And they don't take it anywhere. Like, what a fascinating character.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely didn't like how it played out. I wanted more to happen with him. It was a really interesting idea that he's just by himself on the ship all day for years.
I don't understand how you can possibly go into this movie with, I just wanted it to be cool and that's what I got. Because you, out of all people, never do that with movies. So why does this one get a pass for you?
Sci-fi. Sci-fi should just be cool. I mean, there's enough cool ideas, enough cool concepts, enough cool visuals, enough cool deaths. I was like, this movie was fun.
It just felt so run of the mill to me. It didn't really like expand anything.
You always are the person to analyze movies to the nth degree.
When
a character makes a choice that doesn't logically follow what you would do or what you would expect to be reasonable, you just rip the movie to shreds. This just gets a free pass.
I was pretty far into it until they showed, spoiler alert, that the old guy is still alive. And the way they showed him walking and stuff, I was like, oh, this is bad.
Oh, also, it's like an industry joke now that Guy Pearce is like a chameleon or something. So they just dress him up
right.
like an old person
right.
costume.
Right.
It's so weird.
That was Guy Pearce.
That was Guy Pearce.
Yeah,
holy
there was,
fuck, I didn't realize
I mean, the
that.
Other stuff that was cool is like with the marketing campaign. Like you could see they made this whole video of Guy Pearce young giving a TED Talk about androids.
Yeah,
and that wasn't
awesome.
In the movie, but
cool.
that was cool. And
that is
made,
cool.
They made a whole advertisement for the new Android, and it's Michael Fassbender showing you what he can do.
Oh, that is really cool. I didn't see any of that, but that is cool. I will say the trailer for this is one of the coolest trailers I've ever seen.
My biggest problem with this movie was the music was completely off. The music in the trailer was awesome.
Right.
It was
wow. Yeah, so cool.
And
can we all do it again?
It's only death here.
We were so wrong.
That's a good new movie face.
Yeah, thank you.
What do you think of her?
I liked her.
I thought she was pretty good.
I thought she was cool. I thought the scene where she takes the thing out of her was like the most badass thing I've ever seen.
It was awesome.
Oh, that was
by far the best scene in the movie.
That
was
really edge
good.
Of your seat, no fucking way. I was like, no way!
Yeah,
that was cool. That would be...
Can we talk about the beginning of this movie and the guy who swallows the thing and dies? What the fuck was that?
So, my interpretation of that is that's the start of Earth.
That's how I also looked at it.
And they
wait,
send...
Wait, hold on. I'm missing
something. So, it's the tall, white... Which
oh,
I didn't like.
Right,
I didn't like the way
right.
that...
The ludicrously muscular
I didn't like the way
man.
That they made the space jockeys look.
Space jockeys. Sure.
That was... That, apparently, that's the alien term. Or the alien fan term for those guys.
Right.
I didn't like the way they looked, and so anytime they showed them, I was wishing that they weren't CGI.
Yeah.
You know? But I think what it is they send one of you, and then you drink this thing, and you die, and you wash away into the water, and your DNA fucking starts the primordial ooze or whatever.
Right. But that's it.
That was Earth. That was just showing us that's how it started.
So,
I mean,
you're going to get a sequel and hopefully some more information.
Yeah, we didn't get enough information, but I really liked the idea of comparing where we come from. Thinking about it in science terms.
Yep.
I really was a fan of that. I was like,
Science terms, which is also a science term.
I thought it was so cool to, like, did everyone was just on board, like, hey, man, maybe we could find the alien race, because it makes fucking sense. Like, it makes way more sense that we came from somewhere else than we were just, like, we started on this planet.
What?
Weird to me.
You think it makes more sense that... Hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on, stop. You think it makes more sense that aliens came down and put humans on this planet than humans evolving from a derivative of apes?
No, I mean, but they say... But they planted the seed for everything to evolve. It's not like just humans came from outer space.
Oh, so they're saying, so you're saying that that one guy started all life on Earth?
Yes.
And plants, animals, everything?
Yes.
I don't know. I didn't interpret it as that. I interpret it as just the human species.
Wasn't it already like there was like scenery, like foliage and stuff?
I thought it was like in Iceland or something. I mean,
you might be
we
right.
Seeing, like,
I don't remember seeing any trees, but there were like rocks for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
But I really like that idea of exploring where we come from and then comparing it to what a robot would think about, like meeting his creators.
I think that's a really cool idea. I don't think it really like deals with it all that much.
I didn't know if I liked Fassbender's choices there. They were interesting choices. I don't know. I would have liked to see them play out a little bit more. But he had very clear emotional reactions to things that people were saying to him. I don't know if I like that in my androids.
Well, I like that. I wish they'd explored that more. I feel like his character just completely falls off a cliff. Like where his character goes is so weird. How he becomes like a talking head kind of thing at the end. You know.
Well, that was very
kind of campy almost.
Aliens. I mean. They couldn't have him go bad, because that happens in the first Alien.
Uh-huh.
And then him being just a part of himself is straight out of the second movie. Like, the robot in that one gets, like, eviscerated, but he still can help. So I thought that was fine, but it was weird that he kind of was setting down this path of, by all means necessary, this alien must get created, and then there wasn't, like, a showdown with him. I thought there was going to be a showdown with him.
With the alien?
No, with him and our main chick. Like, she was going to have to stop Michael Fassbender.
Right. So funny when he's touching stuff at the beginning and he's fucking all sorts of shit up. I mean, why did he poison dude's drink?
I think he just wanted to see what would happen.
I think he just wanted to see if that
creates something, if that's going to make something.
Hmm.
So I think he was, like, just experimenting with the DNA.
I will say, I love the aesthetic. I love the way it looked, and I love the way it
looked.
Felt.
Was awesome.
I thought the story was
kind of
lame.
I thought the 3D was really good, and I don't usually like 3D.
The 3D was the best I've ever seen.
I did not see it in 3D because of that reason, because I normally don't like it.
I hate 3D,
this
but
was
I
shot,
thought it was great.
This was shot entirely in 3D.
Right.
So it was very expensive to shoot. I think most 3D movies,
digitally,
besides Avatar.
I kind of hope for the sequel. I know they're not going to do this, but I think it would be so awesome if there are no other humans involved besides those two.
No, she's going to meet up with
obviously
somebody
she's going to meet up
I
with
I was wondering,
because
they have to up the body count. And I'm like, if it's just the two of them, maybe they're going to return, or maybe they get a distress, you know, someone comes and finds them.
There's no way they're not going to add more.
It sometimes gets a little tedious for me when it's like this, the horror movie structure where you're like, oh, that guy's going to die, that guy's going to... You know, you're just like waiting through the deaths. Like,
I thought it was cool, though, because I thought they kind of pulled one on me, because I thought it was so obvious those two guys were going to get off that they weren't going to get off. Like, I thought because they were separated from the other one, that it wasn't just going to happen to them. And so when that happened, I was a little like, whoa, that was intense.
Right.
Because the way they both got, you know, killed, even though one guy comes back or whatever.
Well, that, I think, strangling, breaking its arm is cool.
That was really fucking tight.
Yeah, that was cool.
What I just did there is I put my arm into my mouth.
Kevin put his arm into his mouth and made kind of a whooping sound.
Whoop!
Whoop!
And the killing off the boyfriend, or like one of the main characters, pretty early on.
I didn't like that Charlize Theron's character just ends up being a normal person who's that cold.
Well, that's the thing. I hated her. I hated her character because
it was so one note, and I kept waiting for them to explain.
Exactly.
She's also a robot, or she's an alien, or some weird thing.
Yep.
And the only reveal is that it's her dad.
I could not possibly agree more. It was so annoying.
It was a weird character. I was surprised she even did it. I was like, why was she drawn to this character?
So one dimensional. It was really annoying. Yeah. And I really liked Idris Elba's character.
Yeah, he's cool. That was a cool
I'm such a sucker for those kinds of characters, though.
Yeah, right.
Kind of like the laid-back captain.
Well, it wasn't necessary for those guys to die with him.
What?
We were talking about that. When he has to crash the ship at the end.
Well, they wanted to go down with the ship.
Why?
They could have lived.
Yeah.
They could have tried to live.
There was the whole habitat back there.
There was an honor thing. You know, the Chinese guy.
It was the Asian guy Sunshine.
Oh, was it really?
The guy was like, I fucked up when he doesn't change the shield.
So Sunshine's way better than Prometheus.
Way better.
I'll go with you on that. Still falls apart at the end, though, just like.
It's a little crazy. It's so hard for people to finish sci-fi movies. I feel like it's so hard to wrap it up nicely.
This one had some really fucking cool ideas with the, what does a robot do when it's just by itself?
That wasn't that interesting to me. I've seen that.
I liked that a lot. Yeah.
I thought that was an interesting idea that everyone's asleep for years and the robot's just cruising around and
like shooting hoops and stuff.
That was interesting. And I would have watched a half hour of that.
I wasn't interested in that at all. They did that in Moon when it was actually a human being rather than an android, and that's way more interesting.
I feel like there's another layer.
Because there's a human component there where it's like the boredom would get to you. He doesn't even care. He's just watching movies.
Right.
Well, that's interesting in itself. He's just having a nice time.
It was just weird to think, like, what compels him to go play basketball in that moment.
Right.
I don't know. It was interesting to think about.
I don't know. I really like the way Moon dealt with that isolation better. Way better.
I remember there was a script way back in the day when I was temping or interning in some studio. It was a hot script.
Hot script.
Keanu Reeves was attached. And this movie never got made. But it was traveling through space, and you're taking years and years to travel, and one of the pods malfunctions, and Keanu Reeves just wakes up.
Right.
And it's just like, I'm 200 years from home. And it's just like, shit, and I'm alone. Huh. And then he makes the choice to wake up this chick he's into.
Oh my God.
And he doesn't tell her. He just acts like she also malfunctioned.
Oh my gosh, that is
cool. It was a really cool read. It was like a really interesting...
Where did they go with it?
They have this whole life together on the ship, and then she finds out, and then they end up like...
But it's essentially just a drama?
It's just
no
like a really...
Stuff.
Yeah, there's hardly any sci-fi. Like, there's like a robot on board that he talks to, but it's like a really interesting exercise in isolation, and then he can't stand it, so he wakes her up. He essentially chooses that she's going to die.
That would be a tough choice, though.
That's
interesting.
Really interesting.
You know?
I don't understand how that would work in an actual universe where we fall asleep for 200 years. We get to wherever we're going. Wouldn't we have to report back home to somebody at that point? And wouldn't that person not have any idea what the hell's going on?
I think there would be like, okay, this is the flight control room. These are ships that my dad sent off.
I mean, right? I don't know how you would do that.
This ship is still going to that planet. You know, they should get there. Not your problem. We'll get there in 80 years. So
right, but you got to tell your kids.
Yeah.
But even to report back, wouldn't it take like 200 years for the signal
to
return?
There's no way that you would report back. It's just...
Well, we got to start doing it. Well, I mean, until we invent subspace communications.
Have you heard of this idea of like colonizing... I forget who's like starting it, but colonizing Mars with people who have no... intention of returning to Earth. Basically.
I have seen that, and I looked at
what
that.
What does this mean?
Legitimately
so basically, it only makes sense, it doesn't make sense to do like a return flight or something. It only makes sense if it's like a one-way trip, and people can just sort of start to inhabit Mars. So it's people who
people
essentially are willing to do that or have no ties.
And they want to make it into a reality show to fund it.
Yes, yes, yes.
Whoa.
Which, who would not watch that? Everyone on planet Earth
would
watch
that. That would be the most interesting thing ever.
Yeah.
Those people would all become, like, Truman Show level
celebrities. Yes, yes. I was fascinated. I read that exact same article. I was fascinated.
Well, and I guess the idea is to, because it would be, like, 2 billion people would watch it, to just fund it with the advertising dollars, and they might be able to.
Right. Isn't that incredible?
You would watch every week.
I would consider signing up.
Imagine You would?
I would. I really would.
Never return to Earth?
Yeah. When am I going to do anything extraordinary in my shitty life? Like, that but, is the most. That is the most extraordinary thing.
You would go down
that
in
a
history.
Human being has ever done.
You would go down in history.
Yeah. It's the
but
most
I
extraordinary
think your
thing.
Day-to-day life at some point would get very lonely and boring.
Well, unless you had enough. However many people. I think the idea is every year they would send another batch of like 24
new season.
Right. And it would probably be hot people. Because TV, right?
I'll tell you, I would legitimately...
Can you imagine the first season and you're like an actor and you didn't make it and you're like, I guess I'm going to Mars.
I would seriously consider... I'm not joking at all. If that happened, I would seriously consider signing up to do it.
I don't know if I
couldn't
pay
me enough.
You are one of the most important people ever to have lived.
So your legacy is more important to you than just like your
it's
general
happiness?
It's not
about happiness. Your legacy.
That's exactly
I'd rather
you're
create a legacy on Earth doing something I love than just living on Mars.
You are doing something. It's one of the most important things humanity has ever done. You get to be a part of that. It's incredible.
But what's the point?
Because Earth is going to burn out at some point.
Yeah, it's the propagation of the species. It's the first step in us colonizing another planet. It's incredible. It's incredible.
So they would probably pick people that they actually want to fuck and have families and stuff.
Well, and they would bring over families. Well, I don't know about families, but probably families would sign up. Like,
there's no way they'd send kids. There's no way they'd.
Probably not kids.
But they would probably have a huge test, and then it would be like...
A husband and wife astronauts. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Halfway on the flight, you're just like, I hate this chick.
Man, that's such a... It's too creepy to me.
It's a crazy commitment.
I would freak out. I would literally be like, send me back.
Like, do you ever get the feeling like...
If I was older, like now, maybe not, but if I was in like my 50s...
See, I don't know if
there's
someone 50-year-old, right?
Yeah, maybe not. If I'm handsome enough, maybe.
Do you ever get the feeling when you're like in Oklahoma or something and you feel really landlocked and you feel kind of claustrophobic? Do you guys ever get that feeling? It's a common thing.
I just get a feeling if I'm not home after a while.
It feels weird. Yeah.
It's just like... This is weird. I don't, you know, you get that weird feeling where you don't see people you know for a while and you don't, you know.
Bob, I think it would be harder on you than you're admitting.
I'm not saying it wouldn't be hard. I know for sure it would be hard. But I also know that that's one of the most important things that humankind has ever done. And to be a part of that would
don't
be such
wrong.
An honor.
If for some reason I needed to, like, it was like, for some reason they needed me. Then I would do it. But there's just, I don't see
in what situation would they need
to? Yeah, but
what
I
do you mean?
You have
but
to
you're saying like it's important, but I'm saying someone else is going
to
do it.
If it was like an Armageddon type deal.
Oh, I see. If you had to blow up the asteroid.
No, I still wouldn't do that. Sounds like you would.
I'd go blow up
like
the asteroid,
you
would
die of course. For the human race.
Yes.
I would not.
What? Then everyone dies, and there is no human race.
Fuck them.
You're part of that.
Let someone else do it.
Let someone else do
it. Yeah.
This is just your
whole.
This is Kevin.
No,
Kevin
I expected this from
Kevin Eames.
I would fully expect someone else to do it, and I would be happy with that.
Oh, both of you are just terrible citizens.
It's send some honorable Chinese guy who does it for his family.
I would do it for my family. So would you. You're saying this because you're. Trying
no,
to get her eyes
no,
out.
No, I wouldn't do it right now. You're saying maybe later in life? No, but then I would have a family. I wouldn't die.
But you're dying anyways.
No, you're not. Someone else is going to do it.
Oh, yeah. You're terrible. You're terrible.
If, for some reason, my genes needed to happen or something, then it's like specifically me.
If my genes needed to happen.
Then I would probably...
That's how Kevin talks about propagating the species. If my genes needed to happen. My genes, Kevin. We need you to go on this trip to Mars. We don't know how to say this, but your genes need to happen.
But imagine all of this.
What level are we discussing this at? What are they saying? Like
it's like a real hypothesis. Someone is actually pitching this concept. But imagine like they start with the training. They film it. It's a new cable channel, and it's all they show. It's like
Mars TV.
But even up to the training... The flight, like, they check in, like, what it's like to be on the ship every day.
They would send you, we would watch auditions.
We would
get from the beginning. American Idol shows you people audition. Right?
And imagine he's on Mars and he's going to go do, like, a 12-hour mission out into, like, the desert of Mars. Like, how awesome would that be? You would just watch every minute even if he wasn't talking.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
But I bet you, if you were on that show for 20 years and it was super popular and made a ton of money, I bet you that they would find a way to bring some people back, and it would be like this crazy homecoming.
Well, imagine maybe.
Of course, of course.
Maybe technology would be such that there would
be.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Anyway, I guess the takeaway is.
Takeaway from Prometheus.
I liked it. A lot of people didn't like it.
I give it a B-, C+.
It just disappointed me. I think it's still a fun sci-fi. I just had such high expectations.
See, I didn't have that many expectations. I just thought it was going to be cool.
I give Moonrise Kingdom a solid B. I give Prometheus a C+.
Netflix pick of the week.
Netflix pick of the week. We're going to review some Netflix movies.
It's not really a review. It's more of
we're going to recommend some Netflix movies.
Yep. All right. I'll go first. Louis. The show Louis is on there. You should watch it. New season starts tonight.
This is such a
lackluster pitch.
Funniest
show. It's not even that funny. Sometimes it's just sad.
Yeah.
But there's something very good about it. And you should be watching it if you consider yourself
a comedy fan.
A fan of comedy and an intellectual person, I guess.
Yeah, it definitely gives you a lot to think about. It's not for the faint of heart,
yeah.
Say that.
Louis.
Games?
I'll do Sports Night.
No, sure.
A show
in
everybody
memory,
hates.
Yeah.
I haven't watched this since 8th grade, but I loved it in 8th grade. So,
yeah, it was really cool.
I think as a kid, like, the super intellectual talking appeals to you more. You're like, whoa,
right.
These people are really smart.
Yeah. I'm going to recommend Pulling John. It's a documentary that I actually haven't seen yet. But I got the entire rundown of it, and it sounds amazing. It's a documentary about the world's greatest arm wrestling champion. And what's really interesting is that he's basically undefeated his entire life. And in an individual sport, that's an insane accomplishment. And it's a story about him and a couple of up-and-coming arm wrestling guys. And basically, John's like kind of an older guy, and he's basically... like, he's never been beaten. He knows all the different grips to, like, get past people's weaknesses. And he's not even that big of a guy. And, you know, finally he ends up going to this championship to face off against these two up-and-comers. It's supposed to be phenomenal. So
what's it called?
Pulling John.
Pulling John.
Yeah.
Arm wrestling term?
I have no idea. I have no idea. But John is his name.
What's that Sylvester Stallone movie about arm wrestling?
Over the Top, which is about this guy, by the way.
Yeah.
It was inspired by...
There's a
Over the
Sylvester Stallone arm wrestling movie?
Yeah, it's called Over the Top.
Over the Top.
And it was inspired by this guy, John. So,
there
you go.
That's probably on Netflix, too.
Probably, yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Top burial.
We'll try to do better.
Yeah, we'll try and... Hey, guys, we'll try and do better from now on, all right?